Okay, so next spot.
Yeah, pleasure.
Okay.
So
I guess we'd like to say a few words about something in the parasha, and then we'd open up for questions and answers. First of all, I'd like to, it says if somebody gets a matana tova, it should be modia. I mean, we get boys from Derech all the time. We send boys to Derech, and I'd like to tell you that, many yeshivas offer different things, and they offer skills, they offer this, they offer that. I think the word Derech applies. The bachim that come from Derech, there's something about everything. It's like all the pieces come together, hashkafas and the learning and the person, and it's something unusual that so much is put into it. We have a lot of appreciation both for the boys that come, the caliber and the caliber of boys of that go here and what becomes of them. So, sometimes in yeshiva you don't appreciate. I can tell you as somebody who sees many places and so on, that you have something very special, and Be'ez Hashem, the makom should continue to produce such bracham, and you should get your money's worth out of it. That's right?
Let's say more than that money's worth.
Okay. Okay, that's a good, okay, good. It says Yikari Vipninim. Let's pick a certain nekuda. The building of Mishkan, L'chura, is a tremendous obligation on Klal Yisrael. And it's something that is it's a central point of Israel. You'd expect it to be an obligation, and yet it's Isha Shidver Libo. It's based on what people want to give. So I could understand those very expensive items. It would be progressive. You have that, like Arbanis. You have Mincha, Oaf. Karmol of Yoreh, in Ani and Asher. Over here, it's what you want to give. It's very, very strange that something as significant as the Mishkan should depend on what people want to give. Why? Also, in Halacha for Doros, thank you very much, in Halacha for Doros, there's a Chiyuv, building a base up here, building a base on Migdash, is an obligation on Klal Yisrael. It's Hilchos Beis Abchira, and you have to build a Beis Hamikdash. And yet, there's no exact obligation on every person what to give. The shkolim for the Karbanis were obligatory, and there was an exact amount, and everybody gave it, and that was a chiyuv gabo, a chiyuv on the person. On the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Shlomah, and so on, you never find any type of the amount that everyone had to give, and so on. So I assumed also, maybe the king told everyone what to give, but I would assume the basic halacha is also based on the nedivah slave. Why would an obligatory halacha of the stature of a mishkan be totally on the nedivah slave? And there are many other halachas. Tzedakah, for instance, you force people to give tzedakah. The community, every community must establish a tzedakah fund, and you can force people to give what they need to give. So that you don't depend on people's goodwill. It's wonderful to give more out of goodwill, it's wonderful to give out of goodwill, but you always force. Here you don't have it. I have another interesting parallel to this. What is the Beis HaMikdash called? Mitzara Kadosh Baruch. It's called Mishkan, was a Mishkan. The Rambam calls it Hilchas Beis Habchira, based on Asher Yivchar, Asher Mokam Shefa Asher Mokecha. Beis Habchira is Lashon, we use the Haggadah, we use that word Beis Habchira. Beis Habchira means the place that was chosen and it going Pashas on a Kadosh Baruch. So, if looking for a word to describe Beis HaMikdash, the word chosen. The word Bechira, chosen, means, is almost an exact synonym to the word Nedava. Just like when we use the word Bechira as opposed to determinist, if somebody chooses out of free will versus something is forcing him. So that's where we use the Bechira, Bechira versus Yediyah. That's the current, that everybody has Bechira, Bechira Chafshis. We use that word because Bechira implies something that is not determined by anything else. It's as free-willed as possible. So the Beis Hamikdash, you know, where do you bring a Korban? It's a Mokum Asher Yivchar Hashem, Asher Yivchar Hashem, Asher Yivchar. The word Yivchar, chosen, is almost implies the same point as Nedivah Slave. I want to explain for a moment what I mean. What do I mean free-willed by a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Kaddish Baruch Hu, everything is free. What does it mean? It means as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up certain things that he allows to obligate himself. He swears a shvuah to the avos. He gives a nevuah. He has darchei mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us halachas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the halachas, so to speak. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into a system by his free will certain things that will always operate. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that be a Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaMikdash would be the result of some sort of quote-unquote obligation. Dor Revi Yashavein, the Geula, that was something HaKadosh Baruch Hu made as an obligation himself. Here it's called the place that I will choose, something that's totally free will. Why? So I'd like to give the following explanation. Let's take our senses, our physical senses. We find something very interesting. I can walk into a room and ask myself, what does it smell like? I can say a pleasant odor, I can say an unpleasant odor, and I can say neutral. Is this nice or not nice? I can see something. Something strikes one as ugly, something strikes one as pretty, and some things, it doesn't strike me in any way whatsoever, it is. But when it comes to taste, let's go through, try to make the same parallels. This tastes very good. Okay, great. This, what does it taste like? Horrible. Okay. What? No taste. Can you eat it? It tastes like styrofoam. Does styrofoam have a bad taste? No, it has no taste. It's like when you're sick and you have no appetite. It's not that the food tastes bad, it has no taste. You know why? Why is it that of the senses that we have, the sense that is, the sense of taste does not have a neutral status? It's either good or inedible. Something that is bland. I remember my kids, they used to have a slang that something tastes like a certain color. So anything that was cherry-like was bits. Yes, it's a tam b'tzeva adom. It has a taste of red. Or something that was lemony. I know, it was a kid slang when they're growing up here. What? You've heard the slang. So one day they were sitting around, it was like Erev Pesach, my wife had made potatoes, and forgot to put any salt in it. And it was totally bland. And one of my children takes a spoon and he says, ugh, it tastes transparent. That was the way he described it. What? Betam Shakuf. Yes, it's a Betam Shakuf. That was you don't eat something. What's the reason why it's like that? I think the pshat is as follows. I can live with many things that are neutral. I can coexist with things that are neutral, it's not a problem. But to integrate something into myself, if I don't want it, I can't. I can't eat plastic. I can't eat styrofoam. I can't eat things betam shakuf. Because I have to make it part of myself. I'll give you one other example that I think is parallel for the same reason. A person can have many close friends. A person can have people he doesn't like in particular. And a person can have many people he's fine fellow. It's fine, nice, no problems. And we coexist nicely. Could be a roommate, be a chavrusa, be a guy I nod and say hello to. I can't marry somebody where my feeling is fine person. That, you know, somebody once told me, like, he was inquiring about a shidduch, and he said, you know, I ask people and I get the most resounding, powerful statements I've ever heard. This person is a really fine, okay person. When you meet a person like that, and you date a person like that, so you ask someone, what's wrong with the person? Nothing wrong with the person. So why'd you marry her? Because I don't have any feeling for the person. It's the same reason. Marrying somebody is not coexisting, it's integrating the person, making it part of myself. And unless I have patience. That's why the halacha is, in Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, it says if your parents tell you to marry a certain girl, you do not have to. So, this is Shailas Nachron speak about it, but marrying says Mefurish. The question is, it could be in general, the parents can't tell you anything that has no, that's not for their sake. In other words, they can ask you to bring them food to help them snap, but this is your business. And it also says, another reason given in the Quran, not clear which is the dominant reason, is because marriage has to be Bechiras Libo. It has to be somebody that you chose. So you can't marry somebody that you don't choose. It's not that you're not fulfilling what they ask. You cannot fulfill what they ask because you can only marry a person that you like and you want. So anytime you want to be mischaber and connect with something, somebody, you need to have shuka, cheshek, ava. It says about the Beis Hamikdash, he's speaking about the Beis Hamikdash. He says the Beis Hamikdash, the inside was covered with the love of Klal Yisrael. That's the Mlitza. It means the Beis Hamikdash is the place where Klal Yisrael is nischaber with Akaruchu. If you want to find the Muslim words, the words Bachar as Bechira, the words Chavar as Ischavar and Chavar are the same letters. They both are, one is a Knesh V'Yadah. You cannot build a Beis Hamikdash with elements that were given because you had to do it. So Klal Yisrael as a whole has to do it because Klal Yisrael as a whole is always Meshtoyk V'Kadosh Baruch Hu. But every Yachid could only bring the things that he wanted to bring, because that's the key ingredient in a makom chibur. There's a place in Tanakh where the Kodesh Kodashim is called Chada Mitos, the bedroom, so to speak. It's the most graphic muscle of a chibur Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kruvim was Zohar Nekeva. The Beis Hamikdash, a home, is a place that unites a man and a woman. The Beis Hamikdash place that unites Chazon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's input is Beis HaBechira. It's the Av of HaKadosh Baruch Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael's input is the Av of Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the desire and so on. I think it's true about all Avodas Hashem. Certainly, Avodas Hashem cannot stay at the level of that I want to do it, because if I want to do it, then if I don't want to do it on one day, I'm not in the mood to do it, I'm not going to do it. Anything that's voluntary is not going to last. No voluntary organization lasts. The obligation is sort of the iron support structure that keeps it. But you can't stop with that. And that's why when a person like this tooth in your life, when you're forming the basis for the rest of your life and interacting with Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's Birotz and Kibul Aleihem, it's a time to develop a tshuka, an ava for it. When we develop a rotzen for it and a tshuka for it, so then once you have a Beis Hamikdash, the many halachas in Beis Hamikdash are obligatory. But to make it makom, to make a Beis Hamikdash, to make a makom chibur of a Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, requires to build that tshuva. So if you ask yourself, what is the most elementary aspect of the yesod of building a personal environment where a person will stay connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the answer is connection needs to be built with ava, with tshuka, with bechira, all of these. And once a person has that, then he understands that he can put in obligation. Once we have that av and that shuka, then the Shulchan Aruch is what obligates us. But it's important to understand what the Yisod is, and Be'ez Hashem, we should build that Yisod. That should be the cornerstone of everything else, and therefore our life will become a chibur v'chesbon.